Yeah. Welcome to the interview. For the position of members of the NYDA. My name is Philip Apulan, and I'm with the co-chair of ULE. And on the right hand side, members of Parliament who are sitting in the ad hoc committee for the appointment of the NYDA. I'm not going to introduce all of them for the sake of time. Welcome, Mr. Morolo. Just briefly, in about 3 minutes, you can tell us about yourself. Who's Kenny Morolo? What is your background? What is your educational qualification? What is it that you can offer to the board of NYDA? So basically, we are asking you 3 minutes to sell yourself to this honorable member. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chairman. Distinguished lawmaker, thank you very much for the opportunity to present myself to this committee. Should I come to you?
Oh,
thank you. Well, in the first instance, my name is Ibisen Kenneth Morolong. I was born in the small town of Swaziland in the Northwest Province. My activism, Chairperson, commenced when I was 9 years old, and I was part of the Children's Wing of the African National Congress in 1991, the ANC Young Party Men. My passion for service started during those years. I have served in a number of structures. I led the student movement, the Congress of South African Students, as a provincial chairperson in the Northwest. In 1998, I was the RTC coordinator of the youth in the Dr. RSM district, Dr. RSM region in the Northwest Province in 2002. I was the chairperson of the Swaziland Hospital Board and the deputy chairperson of the Dr. Mufati District Health Council. I have also served as a member of the Provincial Executive Committee of the ANC as a provincial spokesperson of the ANC in the Northwest Province. In 2013, I was appointed by the President of the Republic of South Africa as a board member of the National Development Agency. I was subsequently appointed by the President to the Executive Deputy Chairperson National Development Agency Board. Now, the responsibilities of the Executive Deputy Chairperson are stipulated in the NYDA Act before 2008. And in a nutshell, they relate to the fact that the Deputy Chairperson is expected to perform functions and responsibilities of the Executive Chairperson in his absence. This is a responsibility which I believe I have discharged with diligence. During my tenure in the NYDA board, I was also the chairperson of the Credit Invest Committee, whose responsibility was to formulate new projects, align them with the NYDA mandate, align them with the annual performance plan, and make necessary recommendations to the board. This is a task which I believe I have also performed to the best of my ability. Chairperson, I have also served as a member of the Executive Management Committee, which consists of the Executive Chairperson, the Executive Deputy Chairperson, and the CEO of the National Development Agency. The Executive Management Committee is really a working committee which tracks implementation of board decisions, the NYDA Act, the mandate of the Act, the APP, and provides interventions in between board meetings. This is also the task that I believe I have discharged with diligence. My highest qualification is grade 12. Chairperson, I have always dedicated myself to the service of my people. Of course, not without shortcomings, but I have always endeavored to place the interests of my people above my own. This is the short or brief story of my life. I have always been an agent for social transformation. My whole life has always been dedicated to the service of my people, and I believe that in many of these responsibilities, I have done well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morozo. The first question will be from Honorable Song.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Morozo. For me, I will ask one question. Precisely because we are serious about today. But having said that, with your long, short, good life of employment, what strategies, new strategies, do you think you will bring if you get potentially being appointed as one of the team to be part of the board of the NYCD to ensure that there is an effective efficiency in terms of the implementation of the NYCD program to ensure that young people, their lives are better? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Well, in the first instance, the NYCA is a public entity which is established in terms of an act of parliament to promote coordination and mainstream policy development across all sectors of South Africa. One of the biggest challenges that the NYCA has faced previously is inability to reach out to young people. In fact, in the past, we had experienced a credibility deficit as a result of our inability to engage young people and to incorporate them in our products and services. Now, one of the first strategies that must be put in place is to ensure that we expand the footprint of the National Youth Development Agency working with municipalities by establishing local youth offices and making sure that those youth offices are operationalized. One of the things that we need to do, Chairperson, and this is an important one, the NYCA Act is a Section 75B, which means it does not affect provinces. Now, the task of the new board is to advocate through our shareholder, the President, for the amendment of the Act, so that the Act must be revised. The Section 76B is up, give prominence to the NYCA provinces, and which will able to enhance the work of the NYCA so that the NYCA must be more effective at the provincial level, including the possibility of creating provincial desks that are not catered for in the end. Now, one of the challenges that confronts the NYCA is loss of faith from young people in the product of the NYCA. And I believe it's a consequence of the fact that the NYCA has not been able to optimally market its product offer. Now, one of the things that we need to realize is the proper marketing of products and services of the NYCA. Firstly, through contact with young people. And this contact with young people occurs through youth dialogue, where young people are able to be raised on the products and services of the NYCA mandate, and for young people to also be able to provide feedback. One of the mediums that the NYCA has not fully exploited is social media, to be able to communicate plans, to be able to communicate product offerings, to be able to communicate some of the decisions of the board which have got effect on the lives of young people. So one of those strategies that must be put in place is to maximize the use of social media to communicate with the young people, but also to be able to allow young people to express their views on the on the running of the NYD, on the feasibility of our programs, on the friendliness of our programs, as well as the formulation of policy of the NYD, we can take the views of them into account.
Thank you. Next question is from Honorable Bambo. Not Honorable Bambo. My apologies, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the first round. It's supposed to be Honorable Tlengwa.
Thank you, Chair. To move to the question tomorrow, I think having been in the youth space, you are best placed to also appreciate and understand the challenge of facing young people in the main issue of adult friends. The NDP makes a particular reference to the advantages of having a youthful population as young people are now in the majority. So that being the case, we should got majority of young people. And taking into consideration the current labor market situation in the country, what can we practically recommend to ensure that public and private institutions prioritize the employment of young people? Currently stands at 27.1%, and the prioritization is a specific of reducing the unemployment. So I would like to want to look at the aspects of identity, and most importantly, how we can foster the public-private partnership in reducing unemployment for both skills and other skills to young people. Well, thank you very much, Chairman. Through the NDP, there's emphasis on education as the foundation of economic emancipation of young people. Now, the phenomenon of youth bars and the convention of youth bars into a democratic can only be realized through, in the main, education, through skills development, through provision of employment opportunities to young people. Now, NDP places emphasis on the need for us to upskill young people through the first expansion of SDG quality and the realization of the participation ratio to 25% and the graduation ratio to 75%. But it also places the responsibilities on the upscaling of national research programs. I'll make an example. You have one of the most successful national research programs in Nairobi. You've got another such successful program in New Delhi. These are national research programs that are aimed at upskilling young people, ensuring that they earn a stipend, but it's also ensuring that they are able to render national service, especially to the communities where they reside. Now, one of the issues raised in the NDP is the fact that there is a need to incentivize job creation through tax incentive schemes, or to fund direct employment, for government to directly fund employment schemes. One of the things we need to do is to look at policy renewal, is to look at this social pact from the 27th October 2012 Accord to the National Skills Accord, which aims to upskill
young people who are school leavers. The employment accord which seeks to achieve the reduction of or the creation of employment of about 5 million young people by 2020. The new growth path, which identifies job drivers. So one of the things is to look at whether some of these social presence policies in the first instance are measurable, whether they are realistic, whether there is a need for us to review them. Because the only way you can really look at the feasibility of, for instance, the employment incentive scheme is through numbers. To be able to say what opportunities have been created, what job opportunities have been created through the employment incentive scheme. Second, there are commitments, 6 commitments made in the Youth Employment Accord. They relate to work exposure, education and training, they relate to public and private sector measures, entrepreneurship, and youth target set aside. There are specific commitments made by the private sector. In fact, they are not limited to the following. One of them is job shadowing, on-job training through leadership and internships. There are public sector commitments. The government has, for instance, committed itself to a focused internship program of about 5% of the entire employer of all the departments, which it might be the set aside, but it's not an opportunity for young people to receive on-job training. So the need for us to look at policy reviewers, to look at some of the social types, to look at the responsibilities of the private sector, civil society and government in placing youth employment at the epicenter of their annual targets. So in my view, those are some of the issues which must be taken into consideration if you want to create employment opportunities for young people.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Khan.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Welcome, Mr. Norman. My question will be around good governance. Ensuring that there is good governance in the NYC. There are 2 questions that I'll pose to you. One would be, how would you ensure good governance in the National Youth Development Agency if recommended part of the board? The second one will be, I want you to at least unpack for us the main 5 principles of good governance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Be mindful of time, Mr. Morolo.
So in the first instance, good governance or one of the biggest principles of good governance is compliance with the rule of law. And one of the things that I would undertake as a board member is to ensure commitment to integrity, commitment to the rule of law, commitment to ethical values. And proactive prevention of financial and management risks. The application of key 3 principles. You know, broadening the scope of government in South Africa. The principles of good governance. Inter alia into transparency. And within the context of the NYDA, the NYDA is expected to share information in an open manner with the president, the shareholder, young people who are stakeholders, and talent. second one is accountability. The NYD would be expected to be answerable to Parliament, to the executive authority, and to the stakeholders which are young people on their products and services, on their decisions, and on their actions. The third one is democracy. The NYCA is established in terms of an act of parliament, and it is democratically constituted by a parliament which has been democratically elected. And the fourth one is the rule of law. There must be respect for the authority of the law. And the fifth one is the independence of the judiciary. So the judiciary depends that it will not be of favor. And the decisions of the court are binding and they must be implemented unless there's an intention to review them, but those must be, and that process of review must have expression within the ambit of the law.
Thank you. The next question is from Honorable Marae.
Thank you, sir. One of the main objectives of the NYEA Act is to develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy for South Africa and develop guidelines for the implementation of this strategy and make the recommendations to the President. Elaborate on your understanding of the integrated youth development strategy and why this strategy is important.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member Chairperson. In the first instance, the national policy spells out national priorities with respect to development. What would be contained in the national policy and policy proposals? Education, skills, and certain chances, healthcare, combating substance abuse, effective and responsive development, institutions, and so on. Now, the strategy is meant to create interventions and programs for the implementation of the national policy. The strategy was ambitious target because it seeks to maximize contribution by the public sector, by the private sector, by the civil society. In fact, the strategy seeks to coordinate and mainstream youth development against the strategic agenda of both the private sector and the public sector, which is government, and to a large extent civil society. The strategy must be advocated by the President, in particular the government in general, because the President must give direction in terms of legislative framework that must realize these interventions in the strategy. One of the achievements of the strategy is to place job creation at the center of the development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is for Honorable Chester.
Thank you, Chair. And Morolong, given your experience with the National Youth Development Agency, can you share your understanding with this committee on the objectives of the National Youth Policy, and how do you think the board should achieve that? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. in the first instance, the first objective of the national policy is to consolidate and integrate youth development in the mainstream of government programs, policy, and the national budget. The second one is to strengthen the capacity of youth development institutions and ensure integration and coordination in the delivery of youth. The third one is to build capacity, build the capacity of young people and enable them to take charge of their working by ensuring that they build their assets and realize their potential. Number four, to strengthen the culture of patriotic citizenship and help young people become responsible adults who care for their families and their community. Number five, to foster a sense of national cohesion while acknowledging the country's diversity and inculcate a sense of patriotism by ensuring visible and active participation in youth initiatives, projects, and nation building activities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last question will be asked by Honorable Manang.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Mona. The United Nations and the National Policy Center highlights the principle that must be upheld to ensure youth development in the previous year. There has been a perception that the agency only serves certain sections of the sections of the youth. Roman figure one, of course, two Roman figures there. The Roman figure number one, what can be done to change the negative perception among the young people about the NYDA? The Roman figure number two, how are you going to ensure that the NYDA, under your leadership as a board member, will consistently abide and be guided by the principles of the youth development without prejudice?
Thank you very much, sir. Well, in the first instance, there must be equitable share of resources, looking at geographic spread, looking at the demographics of young people in this country. The second one, sir, is that we need to expand the footprint of the NYDA. The Act speaks about the peculiarities of the rural youth, and these are young people who under normal circumstances do not receive information on current offerings of the NYDA, who would not have benefited from the NYDA. So, in ensuring a equitable share of resources of the NYDA, specific focus must be on the rural youth because of the peculiar needs. The NYDA must undertake this program in a transparent manner. They must be accountable to all sections of South African society. Young people must be exposed to products and services of the NYDA through youth dialogue. And I'm very passionate about youth dialogue because I previously, when I was a board member, crisscrossed the country to engage young people on product offerings of the NYDA, products and services, but also engage them on the intricate challenges that are facing young people in South Africa. And for me, it's championship. One of the most important ways of creating a sense of ownership among young people on the NYDA part is to ensure that the effort
with intent to engage with them, to talk to them about this product offering them, solicit feedback from these young people about the feasibility, the impact of some of these programs of the NYDA. The NYDA must also ensure, as I said, that we work together with the public sector, the private sector, and civil society in rolling out programs that are aimed at integrating young people into the mainstream economy and making sure that they participate fully in society. So in my research, these are some of the programs that must be undertaken in the first instance to ensure that we bring back that liquid state that young people need in the program of the MIT. Two, that we make tangible changes in the lives of young people of South Africa. Because in the first instance, some of us who are activists are not there because we want to be appointed into the board because we want to enter life. Some of us have always said, even without the world, and there is nothing better that fulfills you than to be able to effect tangible change in the life of an ordinary South African. So our programs must be impactful on the lives of young people. They must be friendly towards the needs of the youth, which are elders and men that must be well with previously said. These products and services must also in fact help grow our community better. So I think we need a holistic approach to development, but most importantly, I think we need to venture into effective tangible change in the lives of ordinary and South Africans. We need to make sure that the equitable share of resources of the NYDA. I've already spoken about the demographics and geographics, but one of the problems that has been last year, I know you say I talk too much, is which I am very passionate about, is engagement with youth in conflict with the law, because this is one of the most marginalized sectors of young people. And so these are some of the programs that I believe if we undertake them, we should be able to place the NYDA in a better state, make it more accessible, deal with issues of prejudice,
Okay, thank you very much. Because the last question, there is a hand for follow-up from Honorable Mkhondi. Unfortunately, it's only one, so we'll give to Honorable Mkhondi.
Thank you, Chairperson. There is something that can just make my mind move. We spoke about equitable share and contribution of that. Now, the principle that the question is asking, they are clear. They speak about the historical imbalances that we need to deal. They speak about black in general. They speak about gender bias. They speak about youth with disabilities. Now, when you talk about equitable care, what do you mean in that context of historical imbalances?
Well, I think
if you follow me, honorable member, I made emphasis about the peculiarities of the rural youth. I placed emphasis on the marginalized sections of young people. I spoke about the youth in conflict of the law. But I also spoke about the demographics of young people. And obviously, those demographics include black youth, young women, the rural youth. So equitable sharing, in my taking these resources when they are more needed and maximizing them without disadvantaging others to benefit from the same resources.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Morolov. Let me just deal with the formalities. You have been appointed, you appointed in the previous board, so I'm going to follow the same process. The committee is going to deliberate after these interviews, which hopefully, which we are planning to conclude all of them today. So sometime next week also we'll deliberate and finalize our report, send it to Parliament, both houses. And if Parliament agrees with our recommendation, they will have to go to the President. And it is the President to finally appoint members of the board. And if the President has done that, you will then be formally notified. But Parliament is a transparent institution. We always seek to do our things in a manner that members of the public can see what we are doing. So you are likely to know what is happening if you are following the process. But the formalities will then come at a later stage if you become successful. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
And I think it's time now for us to adjourn, honorable members, and go for lunch.
Thank you.
So we are coming back here at